our songbooks. My brain is so tired. And Book of Psalms. I am beyond multitasking. I sat down today, I don't know, after getting a bunch of things loaded. And so got up Monday morning and 6:15 off I went. And then this afternoon, we were waiting for some churches to leave and finishing up some things. And I sat down on a bench and I took a big breath and I said, this is the first time I have sat down and done nothing since Monday morning at 6:15. Literally, I don't mean that figuratively, I mean literally, it was the first time. I'd go to bed, lay down, go to sleep. And it was, and my wife was busier than I was. And so my brain's tired. And so hopefully we won't preach heresy tonight. And Psalm 63. And we'll read the whole chapter. We're on financial principles. And we'll start at verse 1. It says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, wherefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's go ahead and pray, and let's look at some financial principles here. Lord, your word's amazing and wonderful, and there's so much in it. It's so rich. And Lord, we just have one principle that's all over your word, and we'll just look at it in a few spots, and then we'll apply it to one area where we can apply this principle to all areas. And we're just, when you go into the book, there is a bunch of doors in front of us, and each door we enter into opens up a bunch more doors. And each one of those doors opens up more doors because your infinite mind is in the Word of God. We pray you, Doug, please help us to understand this principle. It's an important one, and help us to get it in our life. And if a minute, and help us understand your Word tonight and speak to our hearts and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm mentoring one of the young men in our church, and this is one of the principles I taught him. And we're going to apply it to finances. And this is called, I call it the principle of early. The principle of early. And in verse 1, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I was in Mexico and talking, an assistant pastor down there was asking me a lot of questions. And they're asking me about prayer. And he asked when I pray, and I say, I pray at night. And he says, well, doesn't the Bible say, seek me, those that seek me early will find me. I seek for you. And I said, it does, but if you look at the verse, it doesn't say what early is, and it doesn't say early in what way. And the verses on early, many of them, those that seek me early shall find, we'll read in Proverbs later, and this one, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, it doesn't say what that means. What I mean by that, does that mean early in the morning? Does that mean early in life? Does that mean early in a problem? Does that mean early in a situation? What does that early mean? But we don't know for sure what the psalmist is referring to, early will I seek thee. You can look at the chapter and he's just talking about that he wants to see God's power and that God's going to take care of him. But he said, early will I seek you. Now, I believe if you can, as far as early praying, I don't think seeking God is praying. Okay, it's part of praying, but seeking God is seeking God. That's a whole other lesson. But when he says, early will I seek thee, I think if you can pray early, that's better. I think it's good to start your day off with prayer. And I think that's great. But I don't think you should do that if you don't pray well in the morning. Some people don't do anything well in the morning except for stumble to a coffee cup. I've tried to pray in the morning. I'm gradually changed my life. I read a Bible in the morning now. I used to read a Bible at night and pray at night. Now I read a Bible in the morning, pray at night. And I will eventually get my prayer in the morning. I want it to be there. I've gotten much better at mornings and moved my whole life schedule back because I didn't like, I found that my lateness was ineffective for life. If you get up late, you miss everything and everything's not open at the right time and you're always behind and trying to get things done. If you get up early, it seems like you hit the day running. And so I want to be in, and I've gradually made myself, I'm a night owl by nature, very, very, very much. My nature says 1 a.m., 10 a.m. if I just let it go. Now, I don't need 9 hours of sleep, but I've moved that back over the years. Now I fall asleep by 11 almost always, which has never been in my life, and I've just done that because I need to, and I need to get up earlier, and so I read a Bible in the morning and things. I think it's great if you can pray in the morning. I think the best thing to do in prayer is give God your best time. So if you're a night owl, pray at night. If you're a morning person, pray in the morning. If you're an afternoon person, pray in the afternoon. But find your good time and give it to God where you're alert and thinking and give God your best. Early will I seek thee. When you read all these verses in the Bible on early, it's just a principle. It could be saying early in this situation, early in life, early in wherever. But I think early always works in God's economy. And there's a bunch of principles of early in the Bible. Let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. So I want to talk about the principle of early and then apply that to finances. Psalm 78 and verse 34. Let me see if I have the right verse here. There we go. It says, it was verse 34, when he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. Okay? When they're in trouble, they inquired early after God. They said, we are in trouble. Let's go to God. So here in this situation, it's not a time of day. It's a situation. And when they were in trouble, they inquired early after God. And God notes that they did that. So often, early is important. For example, how many times have all of us rejoiced when we heard the words, they caught it early? And we say, good. Because there's a whole bunch of things that are better early than late. Matter of fact, you won't find a lot of things that are better late than early. If you forget to set your time, your clock at the right way, the right time, and you get an hour early to work, that's okay. If you get to work an hour late, it's not so okay. Okay? Early is good. And we caught it early. It's good. It's better early. It's better to have it that way. And you like that. Let's go to Psalm 101. Again, just the principle of early in the Bible. And not just that word, but a lot of illustrations of it in the Bible. Psalm 101. And verse 7. He that worketh the seed shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked from the land of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. So he says, you know what? We're going to clean this land out. I'm going to do it early. I'm going to start off this way. I'm going to early cleanse the land instead of late cleanse the land. That is a real important principle we'll get to a little bit later. Is I'm going to do it right from the start, early in the process here. Okay, early in the process. And he does that. So let's say you get a cut. It's better to clean that thing out early than late. Early in the process keeps you from getting an infection. If you clean it out right after it happens, okay, you might wait a minute or whatever, but it's better you do it early than you do it in 2 weeks. Okay, do you see how often in life early is better? In the Bible, early you seek God, early you do these different things. And so let's go to Proverbs now, chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And wisdom talking to us in verse 12. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. One of the funny things that happened, I was talking to Jehovah's Witness, and they were telling me Jesus was created. And they said, look at Proverbs 8:22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting. See, he was created. Jesus was created. I said, that's not Jesus. He said, yes, it is. I said, you're reading Proverbs. Look at verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry and wisdom before their voice? Verse 12, I wisdom dwell with prudence. Wisdom's talking. And they said, no, it's Jesus. I said, why do you say that? Because it's Jesus talking. And then they looked at their Bible. It's very funny. They have a lot of notes in their Bibles. And the chapter title was Wisdom is telling us about herself in their New World Translation. She says, you know what? You're right. That is wisdom talking. I said, yeah, you guys should try to not isolate one verse and just say it's about Jesus when it's talking about wisdom. And it says it's talking about wisdom. It's your problem. Read your Bible. Don't read the Watchtower. Wisdom's talking here. The fear of the Lord, verse 13, is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in every evil way in the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rules and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Wisdom says those that seek me early will find me. Oh, man, I could talk so long on this. Okay, take your relative, if you were the responsible one in the family, who said, I'm just going to mess around, and later on I'll get on with life and get things together, and I'll get some, you know, I'll get all for you. Right now, man, you're too serious about stuff. How did that go for that guy? You know, you seek wisdom early. It's much better to seek wisdom before you do a process than when the process is a complete disaster seeking wisdom. When life is messed up and you need wisdom, there is wisdom for you, but I'm telling you, the wisdom is duct tape for your life. You're repairing things. I shouted this vase, how do I repair a $4,000 vase? And they say, okay, wisdom said, here's this fantastic glue, and you get every little piece, and you hook them together. How about the wisdom of how do I not break that vase? That's a lot easier. Wisdom early. People like sometimes to learn the hard way and figure it out later in ways that are important in life. I'm a hands-on guy. You can give me an instruction manual. I'll look at it. I will run my eyes over it while I'm thinking about what I'm having for dinner that night. Instruction manuals mean nothing to me. Show me how to do it, and then let me try it. And then I'll ask you the questions because I don't even know what to ask you yet. I'm hands-on. I understand that, okay? But wisdom in life, it's a lot easier to seek wisdom early. If you don't seek wisdom early enough, you get in big trouble. Proverbs chapter 1. If you don't seek wisdom early enough, you get in big trouble. Proverbs 1. Verse 24, wisdom speaking again. Proverbs 1:24, and we'll go down through verse 28. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh to desolation, and your desolation cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? Waited too long. Well, that seems mean. Wisdom is not compassionate. Amen. Wisdom is just right. Okay? You're mean to your spouse, and you have a terrible relationship, and all of a sudden they just say, I can't take this anymore, I'm leaving! And you say, oh, I need wisdom how to fix this thing. And wisdom says, you ain't gonna fix this one. It's too late. They're already bitter. You should have stopped me a long time ago. I've been telling you and telling you and telling you. I've been rebuking you and telling you you're being dumb. You're messing things up. And now you want me to fix you? Sorry. I laugh at you. So that's what wisdom does. Because you can seek me now, but you didn't. I've been talking to you for a long time. And you would not listen to me. But those that seek me early in this part, early in a process. Early in life, those that seek me early will find me. But those who seek me later on, then they call it early. Once the disaster comes and the calamity comes, too late. You didn't have me. You should have got me before the calamity. It's too late for that. And so it's easier to not smoke than it is to cure lung cancer. Okay? It's easier that way. Let's go to the book of Numbers. I'm trying to think how many of these times that just kind of the principle in the Bible of early is there, and how many we want to turn to. Let's go to Numbers 33. Numbers 33. And verse 55. We're talking about when they go in the promised land, what to do, and it's basically drive out all the inhabitants, don't leave any of them, and don't leave any of their treasures and their idols and stuff. Verse 55, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Now, if you go and read the book of, Judges, you read Chronicles, you read Kings, you find out they didn't get rid of all the enemies early, and they become thorn in their sides and pricks in their eyes, and they kept them causing them problems and causing them problems and causing them problems and attacking them and giving them their idols and intermarrying with them and messing them up. If they would have just done it from the start, and I don't know how many times in Exodus and Numbers, God warns them, get rid of all of this stuff from the start. Because once you have it, you got it. And now, for the long term, because early you didn't do right. I could have testimony of many of you, and there's no problem with this. God is good, and God's using you, and you're blessed. But many of you who didn't start serving the Lord early, and now you're living wisely, but it sure would have been easier life if you would have started earlier, huh? Sure would have been a lot easier. And God can use you now, but boy, now, praise God, you can push the cart, but now you're pushing it uphill. If you make the right decisions young, you're running behind the cart because it's going the right direction. Because early is always better. Now, you didn't know, and that's fine, and God's good, and it does all those things. A couple more principles. Let's go to Proverbs again, and just a couple more times, and we'll apply it to our finances. Early, the principle of early. We won't turn there. Ecclesiastes says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Oh, I'm sorry. It says, that's a good verse too. But it says in Ecclesiastes, it says, it is better for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Say, why is it better to do the hard things when you're young? Nobody over 30 has to ask me that. If you want to know why, find a virtuous, good, trying hard, 35-year-old going back to college. And I'll tell you why. College is easier at 19 than 35. How many of you wish you had your brain when you're 25 again right now and you could do a lot more? Because your mind, it's easier. You can go and study till late. Listen, it is so much better. No wonder it says it's better to bear the yoke in your youth. I'm so glad I did all the hardest things. And I'll have hard things the rest of my life. I get that. But my hardest decisions and biggest mountains to move, boy, they were piled on at the start of the Christian life. I'm glad I didn't drag a bunch of things. I'm still fighting those battles. I got enough battles now. It's better to bear the yoke in your youth. Do it early in life. Do the right things early. Set yourself up. Do the right things. It's harder to do the right things when you get older. It's harder to fix things when you're older. It's you know how easy it is for, I always laugh when the missionaries go to the mission field and they go to language school for 2 years and their kids are on the playground and then the parents are trying to talk the language. ¿Dónde está el baño? No, not ¿dónde está, dad? Kids are already got it down. They're already speaking the language. And the parents are trying to figure it out. Why? Because their minds are better. It's easier to learn language when you're young. When I was in Chicago, all these kids many of them were Mexican. And the parents did not teach the kids Spanish. And I don't know how many told me, I wish my parents would have taught me Spanish. They made us all speak English. And I like that in one way, that they make them speak English. However, now they say it's too hard now. I can't learn it. And they're too busy. Because it's easier to bear that yoke in your youth. Earlier is usually better in life. Proverbs 31. Here's just preparationally. Proverbs 31, verse 15, talking about the virtuous woman. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. You ever try to cook a meal when you don't have enough time to cook it? My problem is I try to eat a meal when I don't have time to eat it. And it's better. She prepares in the middle of the night. You know what's... You who are good preparation early people, you know how nice it is when you're coming into whatever you're doing, whether it's feeding people or whatever you're doing, and you're prepared and you can just kind of take it easy and just do it right. Instead of, where? I had that. I know it was here. Ah! Isn't that frustrating when you live like that? It's better to be early. Proverbs 6. The principle of early, Proverbs chapter 6. And verse 6, we read this last week. I won't delay it. Consider the ant, thou sluggard, which having no guide or overseer, provideth her meat in the summer and bringeth forth her food in the harvest. The ant doesn't go looking for food in the middle of snow. It does it early. In summer, the ant gathers food. So when winter comes, it's already prepared. Early in preparation in this situation. So again, we could just go on and on and do these things. Early when you have a problem with people. It says if you have aught against your brother, when you're going to the altar, you leave your gift at the altar and go back and make what's right with your brother, lest they turn you into the judge. It's early. Let me tell you this. It's much easier to apologize and get things right early before it becomes bitterness and big strife. Early in a problem, just go talk to them. Early apologize. You ever know you're not right and you just walk around with the same people and just kind of act like you don't want to talk about it and you don't want to talk to each other. Just act like there's nothing really wrong. It's better to get it right early. Better go talk about it early. Early is always better. That's the principle. It's all over the Bible. The principle of early. How do you apply that to finances? I just want to give you a few things. And that was most of the lesson was that right there. And I'm not great at all this stuff. But the first thing I want to say is be early to work. Amen. Be early to work. Now, it's funny. One of our guys at Bible college, his dad was a great man. And he wrote a book about his dad's work ethic. Very interesting. And he says his dad, before work started, had everything laid out before he's supposed to start. And a bunch of principles, you know, it's nothing wrong with getting there a little early. If you leave the last second, you get things come up. Okay? I'm bad at this. I always knew in so many things, and I'm always right. And I plan it out pretty good where I can make it there. I've gotten better at it, but there's always something to make you late. A red light, a car problem, can't find your keys, whatever. And a dog ate your car or whatever happened. And so just want to see if you're listening. You go in and it's good to be early. And some of you are very good at that. And early to work. Number two, have money early in the process. Right there in Proverbs 6. Provideth her meat in summer and gathereth her food in harvest. We're terrible at this as Americans. Boy, we're bad at this. Have your money ahead of time. That way you don't have to borrow money. That way when you have an emergency, you're okay to meet it. That way everything doesn't have to go perfect. Does everything go perfect for you? Maybe you're different than me. Very little goes perfect for me. In other words, you say, you know, not, oh no, my car broke down. But, yeah, I knew it was going to break down sooner or later. Good thing I saved up for it. That's a big difference in life. I have a car, and praise the Lord, my car's been breaking down for 2 years. Praise the Lord. I'll take that. I thought it was done about 4 months ago. And honestly, I had major problems with my car 2 months ago. My car fixed itself. I mean, It was bad, and it's better. And you know what? But you say, good, when your car breaks down, then you can go try to get some money. No. I know my car's going to break down. I am on borrowed time on that car. I'm trying to put aside money right now. I am looking. I almost got rid of it 2 months ago. I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, I probably need to get into something else before it completely dies. And God just gave me peace about it. And said, I'll just keep driving it. And all of a sudden, you know, of course, I turn my radio up super loud now. And it's healed because I don't hear the noises. Prepare. It's good. It's a good financial principle to be early. Pay your bills. Don't get late fees. Pay your bills on time. Pay your bills ahead of time. You can do that. If you do your credit card right, and you do it, you do your credit card, and you know, David's talking about this. He just did it. He got money back from his credit card. He paid. Did you pay zero interest for the year? You can do that stuff. So, but you cannot let it be on there long enough to get interest. So you do it early. You do it early. Let me say this. Maintenance is cheaper than repair. Maintenance is cheaper than repair. That's a man looking well to his flocks. The Bible talks about it. And you do that. And it's good to be early in the things you do. Let me say this. Enter marriage financially prepared. And we just talked about finances and marriage recently in Sunday school. But enter marriage financially prepared. If man provideth not for his own, he's worse than an infidel. Be prepared financially. If you have to bum money off your friend to buy her a ring, it's a bad start. But she's got money. Oh, you bum. I mean, brethren, thou art not good. You're going to be so far behind. Oh, man. Get ahead. You know, it used to be a guy. Yeah, it wasn't so bad, and he had to trade in three ponies for the girl because at least he showed he could get some money together. Okay? And if you want to marry my daughters, I want three. I want something that won, like, you know, the Kentucky Derby, and do that. But listen, you go and they're worth it. You see how beautiful my daughters are? They're amazing. Dowries are good, bless God. You guys need some sleep. And you got to be spiritual and you know, love God. But you go and you proved you could get something together. Oh, do you know you used to, when you bought a house, have this thing? It's an old word. It's a thing called a down payment. Now, you're looking at a guy who bought a house without a down payment because I bought it when they were trying to get everybody to buy everything. I would never have been able to buy a house in the 50s or 60s or 70s. By the way, it's gone back up. Now you got a down payment again. They get tired of losing the money. Why? Because you're saving up. You prove it. You proved you can get it ahead of time. You proved you can save money. And so that principle of doing things ahead of time. Be financially prepared for marriage. What and family. A couple of verses on this. I want to show you a couple of verses. Look at Psalm 128. Right, almost there, and we'll quickly, Psalm 128. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying about being early in finances? Being prepared ahead of time? I think that's and this is our third week on finances, just these brief lessons. But I want you to get this thing and be prepared. And it's something I'm trying to get better at. when your family is ahead of time, And when you're doing things right, and there's a lot of things, but watch how your family is blessed after you. Psalm 128:4. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed if feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Understand how the right kind of person's family after them, because he prepared for things. His family is kind of blessed in generations because he sought God early and did the right things in his life. And you'll see the peace upon your children and your children's children. Now, let me go the opposite of that. 2 Kings, I just think your family should be prepared. Prepare for the next generation. Prepare for how they're doing spiritually. Prepare for all the things that are going to come to them. 2 Kings 17. I just think family and preparation should go together. By the way, we have been preparing our children for marriage. We're not going to sit and have a talk with them on their night before their wedding and say, let me explain to you what's going to have to happen when you get married. You're going to have to learn how to... No. We're teaching our children how to treat somebody, how to work, how to handle finances, all that stuff now. Prepare them early. How many of you didn't get prepared for marriage? You weren't ready for marriage when you got married. Now, you made it, right? I mean, some of you didn't, but you made it, and it helps to be prepared. And boy, if you could, don't you wish you could go back and train yourself right now for a while? You can give yourself a few instructions. And why? Because you'd be more prepared for what you're facing in family. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 41. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children. As did their fathers, so do they unto this day, generation after generation, because of decisions that are made. And verse 40, howbeit they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So you see that it just, if your family is not prepared, you get blessed or cursed. The generation after you gets blessed and cursed. So you need to be ready to prepare a family for life and not hand them off failure. Now, last thing I want to say is prepare for retirement and death. Prepare for retirement and death. Proverbs chapter 13. Prepare for retirement and death. I think that's financially wise. Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Some of you, if your parents died, you're hoping their creditors don't come after you. But it says a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. That's preparation. And let me show you 2 Chronicles chapter 22, and we'll finish up there. What's going to happen if you die to your spouse? Are you preparing financially? 2 Chronicles 22. It's amazing. The kids sometimes now are in a bind trying to get mom or dad buried when they die. You know how expensive it is, a funeral? It's expensive. Nobody has any money set aside. Mom and dad didn't prepare. They didn't have any savings. They don't. The house is upside down. And the kids are having to come up with $10,000 to bury mom and dad, let alone an inheritance of their children's children. Why? Mom and dad didn't prepare. Husband dies and wife's like, what are we going to do? There's no life insurance. There's no financial preparation. There's no what's going to happen if I pass away. There's no preparation. Look at what David did. 2 Chronicles 22. And, I think I got the wrong verse written down. Let me see here. Let me look at 1 Chronicles 22. And because I know the verse, I can quote it to you. There we go. And it's 1 Chronicles 22:5. 1 Chronicles. Sorry about that. The principle, in other words, everything you meet in life, a prudent man foresees evil afar off and hideth himself. When you get there, you say, yeah, I thought that was coming. We're ready. Yep, been looking, thinking about that. What would happen if that happened? I'm ready. Versus stumbling, oh, no. Oh, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Preparation, early. Ready ahead of time. 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 5. It says, David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. He's not ready. And the houses to be builded for the Lord must be exceedingly magnifical. So that sounds like a word I'd make up. Of fame and glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. Who's building it? Solomon. Who's preparing for it? David. Why? My son's not ready for that. That's huge. What a project! What a difficult thing that's going to be. It's got to be God's house and amazing and wonderful. You know what? I've got to get it ready for Solomon to build. It's preparation. So what did David do? I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. God notes that. That's the principle of early. And financially early. And that's good. It's an amazing thing that a person all of a sudden hits their 50s and they suddenly they get disabled. They don't have disability insurance. They don't have savings. Their house, they owe $200,000 in their house. And they're saying, I gotta apply for Social Security. If you think you're gonna get Social Security the same week you apply for it, and if you think Social Security is gonna pay your $1,500 mortgage a month, you're losing everything, man. Because you're prepared ahead of time. Matter of fact, Dennis, you told me that. You had a cardiac arrest. He said, I couldn't be more surprised. How old were you? 50? 52. And I think you said to me, I was really glad we had saved up and paid things off and been good with our money. You live in a garage for how long? 3 years in a garage. While they're building their house. And so when he had a major cardiac arrest, he was okay. At 52. That's pretty good for not saved or for not serving the Lord. He had good sense. Some Christians who read the Bibles every day should learn that. And that's good. So if all of a sudden you're disabled today, what would you do? Well, that's not going to happen. Okay. Well, you better... In other words, I think I want to take that financial principle of being prepared. So Dave's car, transmission goes out. And what else went out? Air conditioner. And boom, he's ready to buy another car. And what percent interest are you paying on that loan? Okay, why? Prepare it ahead of time. Prepare it ahead of time. All right, you get the principle? You understand it? It's good. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to learn this principle of early in life and help us to be ahead, a step ahead. Help us be the prudent man. That's the word in the Bible, prudence. A prudent man foreseeth the evil afar off and hideth himself. Help us to be early in our finances. Help us to be prepared. And we thank you for your word that gives us this principle in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm not going to have an invitation. I want to say right now, just with the heads bowed and eyes closed, real simply, who would say, you know what? God spoke to me.